One is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. Members are reminded they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Thank you. Now, have we any apologies?
Through the chair, I'd just like to tender an apologies for both councillors Fahan and Finn. Thank you.
And I also apologies from Jim Brennan and Philip Campbell. Now, I would just like to thank Terry on the outgoing chair. Thank you very much, Terry, for all your hard work.
Through the chair, thank you very much for your kind words. And I'd also like to congratulate you on your appointment as chairperson of Sustainability and Environment Committee. And I wish you every success in your role. It's a good committee. And I'd also like to extend the same sentiments to your colleague, Councillor Enright, as deputy. So good luck to you both for the year ahead. And I'll try to be on my best behaviour and not talk too much as well. Thank you very much. Good luck.
All right. Thanks. You, Terry. Thank you. Now, is there any declarations of interest? No. Okay, now. Right. The action sheet's next, isn't it? No. Right, we'll go to the action sheet now. So now, here just pages 14, page 15, and page 16. Now, is there any matters arising or any inquiries? Now, could I have a proposer and a seconder, please?
Julie proposed, Chair. Thank you.
That's Terry. Seconder, please. Thank you, Maggie. Yes, that's so as Councillor Andrews and second by Councillor Rowan. Who takes on? Rowan. Okay. Now, let me see. Now, okay, item number four is to agree start times of Sustainability and Environment Committee meetings, working group and cleansing and refuge. And I'm going to hand that over to Sinead Murphy.
Thank you, Chair. So this report is to seek approval for the schedule of the said meetings for 24-25. Members will recall at last month's S&E committee meeting, it was agreed to schedule the S&E working group and cleansing and refuse task groups on a quarterly basis prior to the main committee meetings. So the members are asked to approve the 24-25 schedules of meetings for S&E committee, working group and cleansing and refuse task group, and the start time of 6:15 p.m. for committee meetings held following the working group and task group meetings. Thank you, Chair.
Julie proposed that we proceed to the dates and times as scheduled.
Seconded.
Item five is for consideration and decision. Yeah, for consideration or decision. So it's the S&E directed business plan, and I'll hand that over to Sinead Murphy, please.
Thank you, Chair. So this report is for decision, and members will note the assessment of the director business plan for 2023-24 is attached at Appendix 1. And the director business plan looking forward to 24-25 is attached at Appendix 2. And members are asked to consider and agree the assessment of the S&E director business plan 23-24 and the S&E director business plan 24-25. Thank you.
Okay, can I get a proposer and a seconder?
Chair, at the prior meeting, the 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock meeting, they made a couple of amendments. I just wanted to put another amendment through in the same vein. We're on page 11 in the sustainability supporting actions to put in the words to realise savings and additional revenues after net zero carbon in the bold letters.
Through the chair, just for clarification, which Report.
Second appendix on page 11. In the bold letters near the top of the page.
Can you give that again?
So it would read, I'm suggesting it should read, develop and implement key sustainability strategies and action plans to advocate internally and externally to work towards net zero carbon, to realise savings and additional revenues through energy transformation, waste reduction, circular economy and green transportation programmes. So basically I might be adding in 5 words about savings and revenues.
Yeah, page
11. At this point, so yeah, Councillor Riley needs to come in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need a seconder for that, please. Second by Councillor Young. Sorry.
Can I comment?
Pardon?
Can I comment?
Yes, you can, yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Madam Chair, I would be opposed to that proposal from Alliance. And if you look across Europe at the moment, the Dutch government, the Hungarians, the Poles, to name but a few, are actually retreating back from the zero carbon because they're saying, why should we impose such hardships on European people when the Chinese and Indians and other countries are increasing the carbon that they emit into the atmosphere. And I think that we shouldn't be burdening ourselves with commitments that can only damage the future prosperity of our people. And the thing has to be implemented in a reasonable fashion. And the desire for total net zero will cause a lot more damage. They've already put back the EV motors back to 2035, and the Europeans are now talking about doing it to 2050. So why should we burden ourselves in a small place like Northern Ireland, on Uri and Mourne in particular, to facilitate what is really an ideology rather than a practicality?
I'd like to second Councillor Enright's amendment, please.
Now, this is going to go to a vote now. Yep. Councillor O'Wan.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Isn't it? It's 5 words to be inserted into it, and Henry's in the sort of highbrow response there to him, but I take it this commits us to nothing. It's just that we look at best practice and we look at the opportunities. I take it that's all it is. There's no actual commitment to it.
Yeah, through the chair, realising savings an additional. This is likely to put us in a position where we will be reporting back on the impact of the changes. So if we have savings through any of the sustainable strategies that are implemented, that we can bring back to committee what those savings may be.
Now, Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, just Councillor Enright to outline this proposal again, just as an amendment.
Page 11. Sorry. Page 11 in the overall objective section, where we're working towards net zero, I'm suggesting we insert 5 words because there's a misconception that that reducing energy consumption and the drive towards net zero costs money. It actually saves an enormous amount of money in savings. It also gives us additional revenues, which, for instance, was shown by the proposal to turn our municipal dumps into PV farms only 2 months ago. So the five words So the five words basically are to realise savings and additional revenues following net zero.
We're talking about a commitment to net zero.
There are significant savings and revenues to be achieved by net zero.
But I'm sure. Can I just come back on that? I just want to know then from the director, is this a policy document that the council will adhere to, or is it, as Councillor Briannis pointed out, that it's just something that we'll talk about?
So through the chair, so that the supporting actions in relation to this is relates to the development and implementing our climate change and sustainability strategies and action plans. So it's through the development of the strategy and action plan that we will look at the projects that we'll be implementing around the net zero. So that's looking at our energy usage, looking at opportunities for generating green energy, looking at things like PV energy generation at our closed landfill sites and so on. So some of those proposals through the strategy will realise savings through energy savings would also generate income if we are generating electricity that we don't have a usage for that and that we're selling back to the grid, for example, would be a revenue stream. So in terms of how that would look in practice, it would be through the implementation of the strategies and associated action plans that we're currently working on.
Chair, just for clarity, it's really a work in progress, and this isn't giving a firm commitment to anything tonight. It's mainly, as you say, an aspiration or working toward, but any firm decisions taken in respect of where we are in policy will have to come back to this particular committee and then full council, I'm assuming, going by what? Yeah, okay, that's right.
Now, can I get a proposal and a seconder? And vote to vote. Okay, can we have a show? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, all right. Okay, then. Right, now we'll move on now. Sorry. Proposal and a second now. For the business plans.
So proposed.
Seconded.
Now, okay, item six now, Irish open car parking provision, and that's for Sinead Trainor.
Thank you, Chair. This paper is for decision. The purpose of the report is to seek committee approval for the following car parks, council-owned car parks, to be used by the Amgen Irish Open in September 2024 from the 9th to the 15th. The Donner Park Upper Grass Area, the Downs Road Car Park and the Downs Road Grass Area. So basically, as part of the Transport Working Group to host the Amgen Irish Open at County Down Royal, the event has, these meetings have been chaired by the DP World Tour and representation with agencies. To enable the Transport Working Group, the event organiser has requested the use of two council-owned car parks, as of name Donner Park, namely Upper Donner Park and the Downs Road in Newcastle, and a strip of grassland on the Downs Road, as detailed in the report. As a result of the working group discussions and stakeholder recommendations, the request has been made for use of the entire Downs Road car park space for various reasons, which include adequate hard standing area required to accommodate the park and ride drop-off and pick-up points to allow for bus movements and parking within close proximity to the event, minimise significantly the number of public crossing points over the main roads for those attending the event, reducing the distance within the one-way system for the park and ride buses and to accommodate additional parking for sponsors and dignitaries. All of the parking areas identified will be staffed by AOI-appointed staff to ensure they're available for use as described and return to their original conditions and conclusion on use. approvals are required to feed into the overall traffic management system for this event. So members are asked to approve the parking arrangements outlined in the report, specifically within sections 2.2 to 2.6.
Councillor Rowan.
Yeah, thanks for that, Sinead. It's just Councillor Willie Clark, obviously, who's from Newcastle, has raised this issue with us and asked us to bring it up here tonight. And he's just saying that he would have concerns about the whole Downs Road car park being used just for golfing visitors, as businesses from the main street use this car park as well. So he's sort of suggesting that if we were to give them half of Downs Road car park, possibly Donard Park green area and maybe Islands car park, with the caveat of a small designated area for dog walkers, Downs Road, he's saying, is the main car park for shoppers. And he's asking where would they park if we were to give over the whole of the Downs Park car parking area. Or is that something we could possibly look at?
We can review, this is, I suppose, the proposal that's came to the working groups, and the working groups are continually meeting on this. I'm not aware of where Island Car Park is myself personally, but it has been tabled at a meeting, and this was the best suggestion. That's why this recommendation has come on board. But I'm happy to take all comments away and look at it.
Yeah, I suppose that would be the best thing, is maybe based on the issues that Councillor Clark has raised and the suggestions he's made, that it was brought back to that working group and asked them to reconsider or to look at the alternatives.
Councillor Enright and Councillor O'Reilly, I'll take your two questions for Sinead. Is that okay? Councillor Enright, you're first.
Yes, similar to Councillor Wan, Councillor Truesdale contacted me, and there are two issues. First of all, the Catholic Church have 500 people going to church on a Sunday, and a similar sort of situation as the business community. We need reassurances that there will be an active meeting with the church officials to see how that can be handled, especially if there was a funeral during the event. And the second point is the exit onto Shanslieve Road. That there would be a promise to active management, because it could easily become gridlocked if there weren't people actually standing there supervising the exit onto Shanslieve Road into a residential area. So could that also be taken on board, particularly the point about formally meeting with the church?
Thank you, Councillor Enright.
Yes, I attended that working group meeting on the Irish Open, and I was actually very impressed with the forward planning that is going on there, and those issues were raised, but the director and Sinead seemed to have a very precise answer for all the questions that were being raised. And Jill Truesdale did mention about the church attendance aspect. She was more concerned about the Saturday night rather than the Sunday morning, and also the funerals aspect. And Conor Mallon did give an assurance that he was going to work with that parish to make sure that that would be facilitated. But, Chairman, very, very impressed with the work that the council officials have done on this to date, and the fact that the Donard car park will be fully utilised will mean that people will be walking through the town to get to the event, and will hopefully help business and local retailers in that area, plus all the pop-ups that are planned for the town centre, seem really impressive this year. So thanks for the work that you've done. And I think that most of the anxiety over parking will be resolved, but the one with the church is very important. And Conor Mallon did give an assurance that he would look into that.
Thank you, Councillor Ray.
Thank you, Chair. Just to note that the council and through the stakeholders have engaged with the church, and we will continue to do that. And there has been, as noted in the report, an area of grassland that would be designated for their use. So we will continue to do that. As you pointed out, the park and walk facility will be at Donard Park Car Park, and that will encourage people to walk through the town. And I suppose what I would say is that we need to agree this transport this issue to enable Amgen to put in place their transport plan, which then will be part of our engagement with the residents, the businesses in the area, and hopefully then alleviate the points that Councillor Enright raised in terms of the Shanley Road.
Madam Chair, I propose we accept the officer's report and the recommendations contained within it.
Thank you. Okay. Now, can I get a seconder for that, please? Now, item 7 is the provision of portable toilets for events. Sinead Murphy, please.
Thank you, Chair. And this report is for decision. And it's a SIG member consideration of a request for the Council to provide portable toilets for an event with an anticipated attendance of over 10,000 people. The Council currently provides logistics support for community festivals and events by giving access to council-owned equipment such as tables, chairs, gazebos and barriers. However, the council do not own portable toilets. Financial assistance is available to community groups to apply for financial support for the delivery of their festivals and events. A full list of public toilets across the district with the current opening times are listed in Appendix 1, and the council will consider extending opening times of these facilities on request from an event organiser. Officers would not be in a position to anticipate or confirm the number of attendees in advance of any event to determine eligibility based on a threshold of over 10,000 people. So members are asked to consider the threshold of 10,000 people at an event in the district for provision of portable toilets, or the proposal for portable toilets for events over 10,000 people should be considered as part of the review agreed by Council of Financial Assistance. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillor Jackson.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, just would like to support this paper on a proposal of supporting festivals or events that are voluntarily organised by members of our local community. I think it's important as a council that we recognise the hard work that voluntary organisations do in organising some of these major events. And just think it'd be good if the council could support that through the supply of toilets, just even from a health and safety point of view and sort of hygiene point of view within the areas that these events would be held. So I'd be supporting this paper, and I think we'll be proposing for the financial assistance route. I know the 10,000 people might be quite hard to define for some of the events. So probably we'll be supporting for the financial assistance going forward. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Jackson. Councillor Larkin.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. So just in relation to events that the council runs, council don't own any portable toilets, so I take it the council hires them in themselves for any events.
That's right, Chair.
Yeah. Just for clarification, Councillor Jackson said, are you proposing that we accept the proposal for portable toilets for events over 10,000 should be considered as part of the review agreed by the Council of Financial Assistance? That part of it?
Yeah, I'd be supporting financial assistance for large scale events to be determined, I guess, by council officers. But I do see it's hard to define it.
So it's the last two lanes of that, then you'd be you're suggesting. Yeah. I think that's fair enough that if there's a review of financial assistance. I mean, these groups, any group can apply for financial assistance to hire portaloos for any events, no matter what, how many people, be 500, 100, 5,000. So any group can actually make an application through financial assistance for that. Can. Yeah. So I'd be happy enough for that proposal. I'd be happy to second it.
Okay, Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. And on the basis of the paper and the recommendation, I'd be fully supportive. But just so we'd like to understand costs further and be part of the financial assistance review. So that way, we can take a wee point on board. But I'm happy to go with, with the recommendation. So.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Taylor.
Yeah, Chair. I suppose I was looking clarification on that. At present, does the financial assistance scheme actually allow or portable toilets be included? I wasn't sure that actually was the case.
Through the chair, financial assistance programme considers the applications and whatever a community group would deem their needs are for a community event. So if it is a hire of equipment or such as portable toilets, that can and is considered as part of the financial assistance applications.
I wasn't sure that was the case, but the reason I'm asking that is potentially just for the threshold of 10,000, then if that does that potentially remove that option then? That's, you know, from quite a number then of events that take place. That's why I'm asking for clarity, because I actually thought portable toilets weren't one of those items that you could claim expenditure on through the scheme. I know quite a bit of equipment, but I always thought there was maybe a bit of a grey area there upon that. But well, if you want that, that's fair enough. But you probably would need it if you afford to lose. But I'm just then wondering if obviously the proposal for portable, it's all part of a review of the financial assistance scheme, and that'll be talked about in more depth at the relevant committee. But by placing that figure of 10,000, then potentially are you limiting, you know, the opportunity for those groups to apply for it? Then that's what I'm.
But through the chair, what I would say is that the threshold of 10,000 people can be discussed at the committee where the financial assistance is being reviewed. So the matter of whether it should be set at 10,000 or not, that's the forum that can be brought to.
So it's just that's what I was concerned about. So are we potentially making a recommendation that 10,000 is across the threshold? And that's why I was looking at a bit of clarity and all this, just so we know exactly what we're Rhonda here. That's potentially you're placing maybe groups at present then if they are able to avail of that, you know, that item for, you know, through financial assistance. If we were as a committee formally adopting that position, does that mean then that we're potentially removing that option?
I can see clarity on that outside of the meeting, and bring that
just point
back.
Just to make sure we know exactly what we're.
I can highlight that caveat. Yeah.
Okay. Well, are you happy enough to go ahead and make the decision on the financial assistance part?
Yeah.
Happy enough? Okay. So, proposer from Mickey, was it? Oh, sorry. So, Councillor Jackson, and you second. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Now, item 8, report on sustainable NI membership annual subscription.
Thank you, Chair. This paper is for decision. The purpose of the report is for members to consider provision of financial support and signing of a service level agreement with Sustainable NI for year 24-25. Sustainable NI is a charity set up to advance the pursuit of sustainable development by local authorities and others. Council have previously agreed to pay an annual subscription to Sustainable NI. This year, they are offering enhanced levels of membership, offering additional services to assist councils to comply with new statutory requirements with respect to climate change. Subscription costs and support available at each membership level are outlined below and in the appendix. Sustainable NI have agreed to be flexible with council and the deliverables under each service level and have agreed to help us with our priority areas, which include delivering our sustainability and climate change strategy as part of the accelerator membership level of support of £10,000. Members are asked to consider and agree the financial support at accelerator membership level and signing of a service level agreement with Sustainable NI for 24-25 year. Costs associated with this are provided within our current 24-25 revenue budgets. Thank you, Chair.
Now, could I have a proposer and a seconder, please?
Chair, I propose that. I know that it's going to be a substantial challenge meeting the new reporting requirements, and so we need to support staff as much as possible.
Seconder, please.
Seconder. Morning, Chair.
Sorry, Councillor Riley.
Can I just comment, Madam Chair, that you know, I'm looking down sustainable Northern Ireland and keep Northern Ireland beautiful, and then Deira on down the agenda, looking about
rejigging how their resources are spent. But I want to give you one example, Madam Chair, and that is the river that flows through the middle of Kilkeel. And I would challenge anybody to come down and look at it. There's rats in it. I thought there were otters. They're that big. But there's domestic waste in it. There's dead animals in it. But yet, all these different groups, we can't find a way to actually get into that river to clean it. The rules are so strict on migratory fish patterns and all this type of thing, and when you can go in. And then there's what you call invasive species in it. They've found invasive species. And you just can do nothing with it. So, like, I sometimes question the viability of all these different groups up, say they want to keep the place beautiful. And then when it comes to the practical reality on the ground, we can't get in to clean a river through the centre of the second biggest town in the district or third biggest town in the district. I'm just making that comment, Madam Chair. Like, we need value for money. And if you read through some of the things that they say they can provide, maybe we could liaise with them, Sinead, and see what could be achieved. But certainly there's no point in paying out money and then just forgetting about it.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I think just the paper's really focused on, you know, an enhanced level of membership to support council staff with the development of our strategy, councillor. And, you know, hopefully if we get approval today, it'll help us to deliver the requirements of the climate change legislation and the new reporting arrangements that have come into effect or were passed in May 2024. We have a requirement to report on our carbon baseline this year from April 24 to March 25. So that enhanced membership level will enable or help us to facilitate that. Thank you.
Madam Chair, can I just ask that we look at the Kilkeel River and try to expedite that, because I honestly believe it's a public health issue at the minute. The fact that there's so much rubbish and rats and stuff about there, it is a public health issue. Thank you.
Excuse me, please don't be talking across. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. Purpose of this next report, item 9, is for decision, and it's a report for members to consider support and signing of a service level agreement for period 24-25 to support the Keep Northern Ireland Beautiful and Live Here, Love Here campaign and Eco Schools programme across the districts. Live Here, Love Here has three main elements: a media campaign, volunteering support and a programme, and a small grant scheme. The media campaign has been instrumental in helping achieve incremental gains using bespoke billboards and supporting council areas, television and radio advertising, and increasingly social media to reach specific audiences. Keep NI Beautiful is requesting continued support for the programme in Uri Morning Down, and this would require an annual budget of £26,000 as in previous years. Under the Eco Schools, Keep NI Beautiful is requesting a contribution from Council for period 24-25 for delivery of the Eco Schools programme. The amount requested remains the same as last financial year. The cost of the programme is £2,975. The current programme in Uri Morning Down has proven highly successful. 131 schools in the district are registered with the programme, and you can see that attached in Appendix 4. Total contribution to Keep NI Beautiful for period 24-25 to support those two initiatives is £28,975. Members are asked to consider and agree and approve the financial support and the signing of a service level agreement for 24-25 year as outlined in Section 2.
Can we get a proposer? Councillor Sexton. For that, please.
Through the Chair, duly propose and accept the officer's recommendations as laid out in the paper.
Thank you, Terry.
I'll second that, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Riley. Now, item 10, food service plan and Sinead Traynor's going to read that out.
Thank you, Chair. This paper is for decision. The members are asked to consider and agree to adopt the attached food service plan 24-25. The Food Standards Agency requires Newry Moore and Down District Council to have an up-to-date documented food service plan, which is readily available to food business operators and consumers. The plan must be subject to regular review and clearly state the period of time during which the plan has effect. Our plan covers all areas of food law that the Council has a duty to enforce and sets out how it intends to deliver official controls within the area. The plan includes imported food responsibilities and the control arrangements in place, and the plan also includes reference to the Council's approach to enforcement as including alternative enforcement strategy for dealing with those establishments rated as low risk under the Food Establishment Intervention Rating Scheme. The FSA provides grant funding to the Council for the purpose of enabling us to fulfil our duties across the range of responsibilities within the local authority food service in Northern Ireland as directed by the regulations. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Sinead. Could I have a proposer and a seconder for that, please? Propose Councillor McGuinness. Second, Councillor Rowan. Thank you. Now, item 11, update on the new safeguarding measures for XL bully breed type dogs. And that's for Sinead Traynor.
Thank you, Chair. This paper is for decision also. The purpose of this paper is to update members on the new safeguarding measures for the XL bully breed type dogs to be introduced by DERA. On the 5th of March 2024, the DERA Minister announced his intention to introduce new safety measures for the XL bully breed type dogs in Northern Ireland, as it believes it is the most appropriate way to protect public safety. Minister Moore outlined his plans to introduce a scheme requiring owners of XL bully breed type dogs to appropriately record and account for their dog with local councils, ensure they are neutered, muzzled and on a lead at all times in public places. Breeding will also be prohibited alongside selling, giving away and abandoning. There are approximately 200 XL bully breed type dogs licensed in Northern Ireland, and the number of licensed XL bully dogs in Northern Ireland has increased by over 100% in the last 6 months. Following the announcement in September 23 by the UK government, these dogs would be subject to a ban in England and Wales. And this followed a series of fatal attacks in Great Britain, many of which were attributed to XL bully type dogs. DERA intends to make legislation by June 2024, and this is outlined in Appendix 1. Although the proposed legislation mirrors current legislation in the rest of the UK, the application process in Northern Ireland will differ significantly rather than the rest of the UK, as it will be managed by the local councils. When the legislation comes into effect in Northern Ireland, it will be illegal to breed, sell, gift, exchange, abandon an XL bully dog or permit it to stray. DERA will develop guidance and practical support to allow owners to understand the impending legislative changes, including how to identify an XL bully breed type dog using the current DEFRA confirmation standard developed by the UK government. Owners of the XL bully type dogs will be required to self-assess their dog using the conformed standard, and an application may be made to local authorities for an exemption certificate. The new scheme will require owners to appropriately record and account for their dog with the local council, pay an application fee of £92.40 to obtain an exemption certificate, have appropriate insurance in place, always keep their dog on a lead in a public place, and ensure the dog is muzzled. Their XL bully breed type dog must also be neutered, and breeding from these dogs will be prohibited. It will also no longer be permissible to sell, abandon and give away an XL bully dog. DERA, in conjunction with local councils, will ensure that communications are issued in advance of restrictions coming into effect, and this has started this week on council's social media page. Members are asked to note the contents of the report and support the introduction of the safeguarding measures for XL bully breed type dogs in Northern Ireland. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Sinead. Could I get a proposer and a seconder? Proposed Councillor Owen. Second.
Can I try to use the microphone system?
Okay, so
I just wanted to welcome the recommendations, and I think it's a very important paper that has come before council and before this committee in relation to the XL bully dogs. And I know over this past few years there's been a lot of reports of no accidents, no people being bitten, some seriously injured and some killed as a result of these type of dogs. So it's a step in the right direction. I'm only happy to support the recommendations. Thank you.
Okay. Could I ask you to use the lighting system for the press can't hear shouting over? Is that okay for proposing and second? Thank you. No, that's it. Seconder was Councillor Young. Now, item 12, DIRA consultation, rethinking our resources. And again, that's Sinead Traynor, please.
Thank you, Chair. This paper is for decision. The purpose of this report is to seek members' approval on the response to the consultation entitled Rethinking Our Resources, Measures for Climate Action and a Circular Economy in Northern Ireland, published by DIRA. This consultation opened on 7th of March and will close on the 27th of June. Members were presented with an overview of the consultation at the recent Cleansing and Refuse Task Group on the 22nd of May. The consultation invites views on proposals aimed at improving the quality of household and non-household municipal recycling, how to improve reductions in food waste, how to cut landfill rates, and how to get businesses on board to increase recycling rates. The aim of this consultation is to bring forward new policy options for the DIRA Minister to consider. Proposals and questions focus on issues such as how new measures might best be implemented, considering views on practicality, economic barriers, and how the future recycling in Northern Ireland may look. A detailed consultation response has been attached to this report, as you'll find in Appendix 1. And that's the report, so it's just to have approval. Members are asked to approve the report and for Council Lane to submit the consultation response as outlined in Appendix 1. Thank you, Chair.
Councillor O'Reilly.
Yes, Chairman, I propose that we make a response, but really concerned about the content of that report. You know, the 240 bin that's collected every 2 weeks at the minute, going up to 3 weeks, or the wee small bin every 2 weeks. I just don't know how an average family will cope whenever the bins are already full at the minute. And most families do already try to recycle the best they can. But, you know, it just seems that we're withdrawing a service that the ratepayers pay for. And we need to be very careful about it. And again, I notice all these laws were laws that were imposed on us by the EU before we left. And it's just a shame that we have to implement them.
Councillor Andrews.
Thanks very much, Chair. And as far as the comments with Councillor O'Reilly, I know constituents have contacted me about the proposals that are being envisaged by, you know, going three weekly instead of the fortnightly. And at this juncture, you know, my own opinion is, why mend something when it's not broken? And I think another key factor that will come down the lane, I know there'll be a lot of discussions about it, is the fact is the cost. You know, from going to smaller bins and going to three weeklies, you know, will central government pick up the tab for what they're envisaging, or is it going to be left to the councils? I know in a lot of it, since RPA in 2014, as I said at one time, I always refer to Stormont like taking Stormont out for a fancy meal, and then they're doing a runner and leaving you to pick up the tab. And you know, I'm just worried about the cost going being passed on to the ratepayer. And I know it's going to be a major programme of work over the period ahead. But people have been talking to me about it, and just that they're very concerned about the three weeklies. We're going from a fortnightly to three weekly reduction of bin size, and ultimately the cost it's going to have in a lot of ways. So I would ask that these points be taken into a response from this council to DIRA whenever you're putting a submission in on the council as well. So, and I think the points raised and others, well, I think it's going to be a lot of work involved. So I just, at this stage, I just wanted to convey the views of the constituents in Rowallan, and I'm sure those concerns are mirrored elsewhere. But thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Councillor Enright.
Thanks, Chair. I'd like to strengthen, possibly, references to produce a pace principle. I know in representing the Council on ARC 21, I have made the point that really we would expect the likes of Unilever, Cadbury, Schweppes, all the big multinational companies who feed fast-moving consumer goods and packaging into the supply chain, really should be writing a cheque, cutting a cheque to each and every council across these islands. And I know that principle is beginning to be seen now in terms of the rechargeability for bottles, returnability for bottles. And I think, clearly, as Terry said, it shouldn't be passed to the ratepayer, but I think we need to be putting pressure on the producer pays principle, because it's, I've worked for multinational companies. I know they know their tonnage. It's clear they know what their total marketing product is for the UK as a whole. It's easy to compute what the total amount of packaging is going into the system, and therefore it would be easy for them to cut a cheque for each and every council on a nationwide basis, either individually or done through a central body and distributed out to the councils to compensate us for the costs we have to cover in this excessive amount of packaging. Thanks, Chair.
Chair, I just come back on some of the comments and the concerns that have been raised here by the councillors. And I just want to be clear that the consultation response that's been drafted here is not in support of the proposals that are being put forward by DERA. And we're very clear in our response that we feel that there are implications here locally for us. And obviously we're operating a commingled collection system, which is working quite well within this district. As a council, we don't oppose. In fact, we fully support the recycling target of 70%, and we believe it should be for each council to determine how they'll actually deliver that. We have particular concerns around the proposals in terms of what that will mean from a staffing point of view. We will have trade union consultation to carry out. There's health and safety implications of separate containers at curbside. And these proposals would see an increase in the number of vehicles that we currently have to deliver collection services. So the weekly food collection services, for example, that are being proposed would mean that we would need to review and change a lot of the type of fleet that we're currently operating, which would involve an increase in staff and those other concerns that we have raised. So those comments are reflected in this response. We would very much welcome if there's any individual councillors would like to come back with any further comments on the response as it's detailed, and we can table a final version for noting at the next committee meeting. In response to Councillor Enright's comments around the producer paying, this consultation and the proposals within it are part of a suite of changes that are coming forward, and there are a number of other legislative changes that extend our producer responsibility regulations. Do put in place the polluter pays principle, and there is work going on at central government level led by DEFRA, working with the producers to work out to put the cost of the disposal of the packaging back to the producer. And we should have figures in the autumn in terms of what that's going to mean financially for us as a council. So it's taking the burden for the disposal of packaging away from the ratepayer, putting it back to the producer, so that there is work, as I say, going on at high level, and we will keep a committee abreast of those changes and what that will mean for us. Thank you, Chair. Councillor Andrews.
I'll just be brief, Chair. I would like to thank Sinead very much for your reply, and I'm glad, that you've taken on board, the practicalities and the concerns of what's been envisaged in the proposals, and I think everything that you've mentioned ticks the right boxes. You know, it's all right to putting things on paper, and I do recognise there are environmental issues that need dealt with, but it's the practicalities of implementation and the costs and the disruption that it's got and the upset that it's going to have. And also, I do support Councillor Enright's call on the fact that the big producers, the manufacturers, etc., they have a duty of care as well to the environment and to the ratepayers and taxpayers, etc. But again, thank you very much and support your response to the consultation.
Thank you. Can I have a proposer?
Opposed.
A seconder?
Seconded.
Now, item 13 is fleet replacement update. This item is deemed to be exempt under paragraph 13 to 18. Sorry. What's the 13 to 20? Yeah, it's changed. It was 18 to 18. Right. Now, items 13 to 20 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council, holding that information, and the public may, by resolution, be excluded during these items of business. Can I get a proposer to win the closed session?
Julie proposed, Chair.
Seconder?
Seconded.
Yeah. 13 fleet replacement update on the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Rowan, following was agreed to approve the amended capital spend for fleet replacement 2024 to 2025 as outlined within the officer's report, to approve the amendments to the 2023 to 2025 business case for vehicle replacement as outlined within the officer's report. Item 14, business case for EV charging infrastructure. On the proposal of Councillor Enright, seconded by Councillor McGuinness, it was agreed to approve the business case recommendation for the installation of two double electric vehicle chargers at each site as detailed within the officer's report. Item 15, business case for servicing, maintenance and monitoring of council's fire and intruder alarm systems. On the proposal of Councillor Taylor, seconded by Councillor Hart, it was agreed to note the report and to approve the business case recommendation that option 2 is chosen as the preferred option. Item 16, business case for consultancy services for waste contracts. This item was deferred to a future committee date. Item 17, business case for HRC waste streams. On the proposal of Councillor Larkin, seconded by Councillor Hart, it was agreed to approve the business case to procure contracts for the collection, receipt, transport and processing, recycling, recovery, treatment of various waste streams from household recycling centres. Item 18, single tender action. On the proposal of Councillor O'Reilly, seconded by Councillor Rowan, it was agreed to approve the STA as detailed in Appendix 1 of the officer's report. Item 19, action sheet and presentation from the Cleansing and Refuge Task Group held on the 22nd of May 2024. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Enright, it agreed to note the action sheet and presentation from the Cleansing and Refuge Task Group held on the 22nd of May 2024. Item 20, ARC 21 Joint Committee Members Monthly Bulletin of 30th May 2024 and a committee minutes of Thursday the 25th of April 2024. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Enright, it was agreed to note the documents. Can I get a proposer and a seconder?
Seconded.
Okay. So items 21 and 22 are for noting. So can I get a proposal and a second for both items, please?
And seconded, Chair. And well done on your first meeting. Well done. Good job. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And good night.